Hello. The following podcast comes with a disclaimer, which probably isn't a good sign, is it? I decided it would be a good idea to sit down with some mates of mine and do a year review. So going month by month, talking about some of the things that went on that month in the news, in music, in our own lives, and record it. We also decided it'd be good to have a drink while we do this. Now, I don't really drink much anymore. I've probably been drunk probably twice this year up to this point. I figured that these episodes we'd get at least two episodes out of, so at least a couple of hours. We ended up drinking and talking for over 5 hours. We broke it up, so it's episodes, but we do get quite drunk. The thinking was, in the December period and early New Year and stuff like that, I don't want to be chasing guests, trying to hassle people to sit down and have a conversation with me, but equally, that's the time of year that you might have some free time to fill, or you might really want to go for a walk and escape the family and stuff like that, or have the worst of the train journeys because it's you shouldn't be at work, you should be at home by fire. So I didn't want to not do the podcast. A lot of people take December off. I didn't want to do that. So we've actually turned out we're going to be doing extra episodes in December because this 2 hours of chat turned into 5 hours of drunk rambling. I wanted to do this disclaimer because I can't guarantee the quality is high. I can't remember what we said or what we did, but I do remember that we had a great time, so hopefully you will too. Thank you for the support. Oh, and again, like some of them, I was drunk and forgot to give a gap for the intro music to come in or outro music or anything like that, so they're going to be a sloppy mess. But yeah, thank you for supporting for the whole of 2015 and all the episodes you've got down with and pushed about and used word of mouth to keep us in the top 10 regularly on the iTunes chart and on all podcast charts. So thank you for your support and Happy New Year. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm barely going to do any kind of intro because we've literally just stopped the last one. All that's happened in that time is Stu has topped up the crisps. Oh, I'm having a top up of Pepsi now, or Pepsi Max.
Oh, this is your glass. Let's do it.
Bacardi and Pepsi Max.
Shoes cracked open, Brannigans, right, which is always a good thing.
Premier crisps.
So yeah, this is another one. This is part two of our year review. I'm joined by Chris Glasson and Stuart Whiffin.
Hello.
We are in the Whiff Inn, which is his pub at the end of his garden. I feel I should clarify, because it makes it seem like, because we mentioned that I didn't go into it, it makes it seem like you're like a really posh, rich person with tons of land.
Yeah, sound like Ronnie Wood or something.
Yeah, I need to explain. I mean, it's pretty shit.
It's a shit.
No, it's a beautiful shed. I'm joking, it's not shit. It's a beautiful shed that you've just turned into a nice little bar.
Yeah.
Which is lovely.
Which is pretty shit.
Yeah,
but it's got crisps.
Just messing.
I reckon it might be in this episode that we end up ordering pizza midway through. So Start thinking now, because the exciting thing, this is exciting for, it's not exciting for every of you because of where you live, but I live in Stamford Le Hope. The only delivery option is Domino's.
Got pizza, right, yeah.
Got Pizza Hut and Papa John's, right?
Down south.
Pizza Hut, Domino's and Papa John's could all be delivered. So start thinking of what we might go for. Keep that in mind.
An arm wrestle.
Now, yeah, it might have to come down to an arm wrestle. We'll take
photos.
I'll
start for that.
I need to... The last episode, we're doing a year review. I was thinking it might last one, two, maybe three episodes. We got January and February done last time, yep. So let's smash through March, okay. Let's smash through March. So March, all I wanted to bring up, let's start with MMA and get it out of the way, because that'll get all the people who hate MMA, it'll be fine. It's like when they all... Oh no, I should actually do, let's have the theme music. Right, now, sorry.
What track is it?
Because I know that when the theme music plays, also an advert plays, and I know a lot of you fuckers just skip that. So if you're not into MMA, just keep skipping for a couple of minutes. But the two fights that jumped out to me in March were Rafael Dos Anjos and Pettis, which was mental again, because again, Pettis was just...
Didn't see that coming.
No, he was the boy. He did the showtime kick.
He did the kick. Even
if you're not into MMA, just go and
go on YouTube and look at the Showtime kick, where I'm going to paint a picture a bit here, because on whichever one is the last podcast, we're going to talk about Ronda Rousey. But the Pettis kick is something that is the reason I stay up until the middle of the night to watch MMA, because actually experiencing it happening live is the most amazing thing. So Anthony Pettis was fighting Benson Henderson in the last ever WEC event for the last ever WEC lightweight championship. In the main event, it'd been a great fight, a back and forth, and then it's kind of even, probably, yeah, it could go either way. And then towards the end of round five, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was literally
towards
the end
of the last round. Anthony Pettis ran up the side of a cage, jumped off of it, and kicked Benson Henderson in the face. Yeah. So it's literally two steps up the side and a ninja.
And floored him as well.
And floored him. Put him down. I mean, it didn't end the fight. It probably is the thing that won him the decision. So he became the last ever WEC lightweight champion, which was harsh on Benson Henderson because he'd been champion for ages, smashing everyone.
He's a great fighter.
He's now got Matrix shit, that kick, isn't it?
It's stunning. I said numerous times when we were doing... what the hell was the show I did on BT Sports with Dan Hardy and what's it called?
Don't look at me, I don't watch
anything. You don't watch anything I do. Dan Hardy and OJ Borge, fighting talk.
Yeah.
On that, they made a big joke because I really genuinely said that I think that is the best thing that's ever happened.
Yeah.
Just in general, in the world, in life, right. Not in MMA. It's just that's the best thing. But yeah, so Pettis had become champ, had been smashing people for a while now, and Dos Anjos, it feels like he's been around forever.
Yeah.
Had been kind of a gatekeeper, and he'd kind of got on this run, and then he came in and didn't just catch him with a lucky punch or anything. He outworked him, he outfootworked, outpunched everything, and just and smashed him,
scored him. Yeah, yeah. Has he fought since Dos Anjos? Has he?
He has. He beat who did he beat? I'm sure he's had one since. I can't think who he's.
No, I can't.
He definitely has.
Obviously, he's fighting Cowboy soon, isn't he?
He's got Cowboy coming up. So that'll be incredibly exciting. The other one I've flagged more in hindsight was Carla Esparza against Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
That was quite pleasant thing to watch.
It was amazing. And, and Joanna at the end of this year could well be easily the female fighter of the year, as Ronda had her bad end of year. And Holly Holm didn't look great until the Ronda fight, whereas Joanna came out of nowhere and is the Chuck Liddell of women's MMA. Just such an amazing striker.
Her hand speed's insane.
And Carla Esparza, again, to give some history, had won the TV show, so had fought numerous really high-level women on the TV show, so had got a big name.
Great wrestler.
Yeah. Out-wrestled everyone. She came against JJ and just got beaten.
It was horrible.
A domination.
It was horrible.
It's possibly the most brutal... And again, the women's fights, it's weird because it is kind of sexist to say I don't like seeing women. Because again, it should be equal. But that was the one that I was the first that I really kind of winced and was a little bit, oh man, this is
irrelevant of male or female. Intense, that kind of... Because it was a ongoing beating until literally she...
Absolute domination.
Just couldn't deal with it. And
I just had a big bit of Bacardi then. It was a lot of Bacardi at the top, sorry. Anyway, yeah, it was a real just, smashed.
Yeah, brilliant.
So, have you got anything in March? Looking at your screen.
Albums-wise, I have.
Yeah, go on.
So, things like Earl Sweatshirt, yet. I Don't Like Shit, I Don't Go Outside, was a dope album.
It's good, and particularly after Earl had been away for so long.
Yeah, he'd been away for yonks.
So, people who don't know, there was tons of hype over it. There was a whole Free Earl movement, because Earl Sweatshirt was part of the original Odd Future.
Yeah.
And he, along with Tyler, the Creator, they were the two that people were really hyped about. Before the hype for Frank Ocean built or anyone else, and Earl was the one that was the real intricate writer.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was all sorts of rumours. His mum either sent him off to boarding school or put him in a military school, and all sorts of weird shit where he was just as they blew up, and Tyler was going on to huge things. Gone. Earl stopped doing everything, so he came back in February and is still the tightest writer. It's weird because the exciting thing at the time was saying, "Have a listen to this 16-year-old." rap better than anyone. More intricately than anyone. So it's still dope, but for me it wasn't as exciting as an 18-year-old or 19-year-old or whatever he is now, but still, yeah.
Music video, I think it was Grief.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
So, like, I've always got this thing about music videos, like, when you need to keep it simple and don't spend a lot of money.
Yeah,
and
there's people like that.
You know, you've had us working 24 hours in one day
Yeah.
just for free.
Yeah, damn right.
And seriously, like, I think we did a 20-hour day once.
Yeah, and it's good.
But Grief is dope, and it costs nothing. Awesome. It's all just like an infrared heat sensor, isn't it?
Similar, cool. I think you were about to reference Death Grips as well.
They've done a few bangers.
The guillotine one was, it's just so simple, but so cool. I loved it. On the podcast that month, two that jumped out to me the most, Billy fucking Bragg.
Do you know what? I listened to that one on Friday night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't catch it at the time. Obviously, I've just waited until November to listen to it.
Yeah.
Really interesting what he said. I mean, you know that I adore Billy Bragg.
Or this part of all being from Essex and, you know, his him being a barking lad and whatever else. It's like, he's a bit of a legend, but...
Yeah. If you're going to... I'm going to throw it out there, right? But if you don't know too much about his music, then Tank Park Salute, just go and listen to that record. It is a beaut. I really liked what he was saying about his son and his son's band and sort of backing off from it.
Too much control and getting too involved. I'm sure I must have said it on the podcast. Again, it's tough because
it was when you said about being side of stage.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was just... when he was trying to say about... being a cool dad.
Yeah, yeah. Or that was it. It was a real revelation for me at Best of All. It made me realise that, and you're a parent, Stu, obviously, it made me realise that there's no use ever having any expectation of being a cool dad.
No.
Because I was standing there with Billy fucking Bragg and his son, being embarrassed and annoyed by himself. Or he's saying, this is my son, he's staying a weekend, I'm leaving him some beers in the tent. He's like, yeah, I've got beers, whatever. Like, just being really annoyed that his dad's kind of embarrassing him. And it's like, if Billy Bragg isn't a cool dad, there's no point having any expectation of ever being...
You can't be a cool dad. It's impossible. The minute you try and be cool dad, you're so uncool dad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially if you're a convicted paedophile. That's never helped you.
That's always going to be frowned upon, definitely.
That's not cool at all. Have you ever tried to be cool? Just in general.
that stripy shirt we saw you in.
You pear pricks. Like you made me wear my jacket all night. I got proper paranoid about that.
You did. You wore your jacket. Club.
That was fair because the months of lizards that I got stick are when I got my sleeveless denim jacket.
What?
Can you not remember that?
I don't know if I've seen your sleeve.
You have. You were quite drunk abusing me all night about it. But
it was brilliant.
It was brilliant.
Man. And that's not in my memory.
The best thing for me, I think I sent a picture to Stu was about 6 months later. There was a big article with David Beckham in a sleeveless denim saying it's the biggest new trend, and I was like, just ahead of the curve, guys. Sorry, you old fogies can't keep up with me and be cool. But
I just thought he'd have B.A. Baracus on his podcast and lend him a jacket.
It's a solid jacket, and I still wear it and love it.
I've never seen you wear it once since, if that even happened.
It's the right. It has to be the right weather for it, mate. other one that jumped out for me was Wes Borland. I loved how...
I'm going to have to listen to that one.
Yeah. But he... And this will be good for you, because he kind of talks about his conflict of Limp Bizkit being... having a lot of jock fans and becoming this weird thing, whereas he was always the really alternative dude with all doing his own body paint.
Insanely creative. His outfits were awesome.
He mentioned like quite a lot that he almost looked at Limp Bizkit as that's the day job and the thing that the music, what was the name of his band?
Was
his wife?
Pink Kwong.
Is that his wife?
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it sounded really good. He played a track, didn't
he? It's great. And he was beautiful again. Again, he talks in the podcast about how there was a period where he got a massive ego and was a dick, but I saw him play with Queen Kwong in the Old Blue Last in Shoreditch in front of about 100 or so people. It's a small venue. That next weekend, he was off to Mexico to play with Limp Bizkit for 60,000.
Yeah.
But he's doing a pub in East London and loving it.
I thought he'd come... I'm obviously a bit older than you guys, and I know you loved all your new metal and stuff like that.
We did.
Like some stories.
Don't get me wrong, I was generally DJing it to use when you were kids dancing on the dance floor, but
I loved it.
It weren't my bag. And it was quite interesting because, like, I'm probably guilty of, as some of the people he's talking about, of just presuming he was just some jock.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting. I thought he came across really well. Right, you know, seemed like a really sound guy.
Yeah, he's a good dude. And me and you, Chris, at uni. So Chris went to uni in Birmingham, and I had a year in Wolverhampton before I quit and became a fucking mega star.
There's a whole podcast on our exploits in 1 year.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be messy. But we were heavily into, at that point, Limp Bizkit, Head PE, Incubus, Papa Roach.
Yeah, yeah. We met. Well, I say
we were actually into Papa Roach.
I say we met these people. Pip would always meet them, and there'd always be an awkward exchange between me and some of these people.
That was the best thing on what we, I still claim, as our three best nights out in one ever, because we went to see Papa Roach, supported by Head PE, and then went on to Feet First at Coco.
Yep.
Or as at the Camden Palais at the time.
Yeah.
So Head PE were the main band we were there to see, and they were amazing. Oh, yeah. And then Papa Roach were great, and then we went to the Camden Palais, and Papa Roach were in there, and we kind of, by pure chance, again, I've never been the cool kid, but Kobe Dick of Papa Roach.
That can't be his name.
No, it's not. He's Jewish. He's got a long Jewish surname in real life. But yeah. Anyway, because I believe it's Kobe Dick to be like Moby Dick.
Right.
It's the link there. And my name's Kobe Dick. Mr. Dick, if you're nasty, I rock the mic with a voice that's raspy. Was one of his classic raps.
If you could see Stu's face right now.
Anyway,
everything he hated in new metal.
In that night, like, we were fanboying out, and I got to talk to him briefly, and I was just like, oh, like being some cheap Essex kid, I was like, oh, the drinks near are well expensive, and he gave me a load of free drinks tokens. And then when we were leaving to go round Big Pete's student digs.
Oh, do you remember? That is amazing, though.
Again, we won't go into all of that. It'll be boring for everyone other than us. Chris was like, oh, we should try and say goodbye or say hello or whatever on the way back. I was like, let's just leave it. And we walked past, and Kobe Dick had a bit of a crowd around him. And then he pushed the crowd aside a bit and just said, you leave it, man. I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll see you later. I was like, bye.
Right, I thought he was going to say, something big?
You're right. It is proper expensive here. But yeah, I always remember as well when we were at Alternative Club in Wolverhampton, I got picked up by my throat by the bouncer in the middle of the dance floor and carried to the end of the club all the way by my throat, pinned against the wall during break stuff, because he was like, you're just getting too out of control. I was like, it's a rowdy song. He went, you jumped up, grabbed hold of the rafting in the ceiling, swung off of it into the crowd. I was like, Yeah, fair play, mate. I should probably go and have a sit down. I probably got a bit overexcited there. But yeah, we loved Limp Bizkit. And Wes was a great guest on that one. And as I said, it was great to see the intelligence and wiseness of that young man. Are we ready to move on to April?
Yeah.
Perfect. Movie in March, It Follows. I don't know if you guys saw that.
It Follows.
Movie.
I did see it. And you're a big horror movie fan, aren't you? Yeah. I'm 50-50 on it, but I heard a lot of hype over It Follows. And it was... It's great use, again, of going kind of a low-budget premise of not really having much of a visible bad guy there, you know, initially, at least, it being kind of just a scary... The idea and implication of fear and a threat.
Definitely.
They nailed it, right?
Yeah, they totally nailed it. And it was driven by a nightmare he'd had as a kid. I just think that's genius, because when I watched it, I was like, wow, where did that come from? That's, like, original, it's creative, it's like... It tipped its hat at like a lot of 80s and 90s horror movies that I absolutely loved. And I thought, wow, how's he created this thing?
Yeah.
And then we went to see it, and it was the director, and I think he also wrote it. He said, you know, it was just the nightmare I used to have as a kid.
Yeah.
And well, yeah, it's great.
The simplicity.
It's so simple.
It works the perfect balance as well of being a bit over the top and trashy, and just genuinely good. It's not like a highbrow horror, but it's also not Sharknado.
Unfortunately, it's not Sharknado. We haven't got time to talk about that. But
I ain't big on horror, and my missus is, and I had to, over at the Halloween period, she wanted to play catch up on some horror. So I don't know if you've seen any of these, because none of them done a lot for me. Like, can I talk about?
Yeah, go to horrors.
Babadook.
Oh, the Babadook.
The Babadook was brilliant. I thought I loved it. I loved the artistic
it's
design
genius.
On it and just everything.
But
I thought, because it was Australian.
Babadook. New Zealand, right?
New Zealand.
Zealand.
Oh, sorry.
Do you know what?
For about, I don't know. I just said that to Sam to provide more information. I think you'll find it's New Zealand too. I think you should understand the regional accents a little bit clearer.
From New Zealand, you daft racist. It got to about an hour in, and I was thinking, this is really good. I really like the way it was shot and that. And yeah, I just no. It was that one, and then my mate went, yeah, have you seen The Human Centipede? I went, yeah. I didn't like it. And he was like, the second one's really dark. It's like, it's English. You should watch it. I hope he was just trying to wind me up because that was rubbish.
I couldn't, I didn't even bother.
And Insidious, is it Insidious?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I watched that as well.
The original or one of the follow-ups?
The first one.
The first one had a good premise and setup, and towards the end, I don't think they quite nailed it, but there was bits in that, just the use of the violin, petrifying.
Yeah,
really. I confuse a lot of horror films, and that's not me making a joke at all. Insidious, I'm not sure which one was Insidious.
I
saw it.
Paranormal Activity came out, and then they carbon copied Paranormal Activity into about four or five. And if you look at the production house, I won't start naming them on air, but if you look, they are literally templates of each other. Like there's four or five where it's so tedious for me to watch them.
Yeah,
and they're a bit jump scare culture.
Yeah, I mean, I'd imagine they're pretty fucking pleased that you've not named them on air, because they would have been cowering in their boots if we'd gone. We'd named them on air. They'd be like, "That's us closed down." now Chris has singled us out on the Distraction Pieces podcast. We're fucked.
I'm like that dude who does movie reviews and just kills movies before they come out. Have you heard of that? And the ginger dude, the ginger guy, he's American.
No, I don't know.
Literally, he's a small critic blogger.
Yeah,
watches films in advance and kills them bad upright.
Damn. Yeah. You could have done that about podcasts if you'd ever listened to
any. Let's move on to April. And while we're on films, a film I went to see in the cinema, Furious 7.
Hey, Matt, I'm not going to diss that because...
I'm not either. No, I really enjoyed it. I had choices. I think I had a spare afternoon in London, like between meetings or whatever, and I looked up the reviews on Rotten Tomato and a few others, and there was a Furious 7. It might have been San Andreas, was that at the same time? And a couple of others. And like, Furious 7 had the best reviews. And I watched it. I thought it was all right.
That's cars and shit, isn't it?
It's cars and shit.
Cars and shit, right.
It's weird that I felt... I had two big things I took from it. I felt sorry for... cars and shit. I felt sorry for Vin Diesel, because his whole thing is he's...
He's
bald and muscly and big, and then about halfway through this franchise they brought in The Rock, who's balder and musclier and bigger, and kind of just puts him to shame. But the thing that really struck me, that I was stunned that no one talked about, and you've seen it, right?
A few of the others before that,
keeping in mind obviously this was also the same month that Freddie Gray was the latest of the black community killed in police custody, and all sorts of other stuff going on. Again, we'll get onto that if we want, but keeping that in mind, do you remember what the place that they went to in the desert was called? The kind of the race place that they'd built their own, themselves?
No, not off the top of my head, bro.
So he takes her to try and jog her memory to this place in the desert that's like a race, almost a race adventure park kind of thing. There's loads of race and loads of weird things going on. The park was called Race Wars. Race Wars. In the current climate, I literally saw it, I was like... Does that say Race Wars? And then it just zooms in on it, and it's like, how's that? How's your adventure playground called Race Wars? Considering what's been going on for like in the last 3 or 4 years in America now, really, with the increase in police brutality.
Why did no one on set go, mate? What's with the fucking sign?
Yeah,
what's going on?
Why is that called Race Wars? But yeah, that was the main thing I took from it. We don't have to go into that anymore. Let's talk about some other people's podcasts for a bit, because you listen to a few others, right, Stu? What do you listen to?
I listen to tons of other people.
You've never... You think a podcast is something that's on TV on a Sunday night? I'm not in on Sundays. I've not seen the podcast. I used to watch the Antiques Roadshow podcast and...
Last of the Summer podcast.
But yeah, you listen to Rogan and a bit of Fighter and the Kid, right?
Is Desert Island Discs a podcast?
Yeah, they do it as a podcast as well.
Yeah, I like a bit of that.
But in April, the Fighter and the Kid, I think, is a weird podcast because I love it. But again, it's not always about MMA, But I think you do need to have a level of that. Well, you don't need to, because Brian Callan's an amazing comedian, and Brendan Schaub is entertaining. And it's
no, kind of, he's not, man. You know,
you hate him.
I just don't get him. He's a jock.
He's won me over. He's won me over.
He has proper won you over. He played it in the car the other day.
Yeah.
And he played me some great podcasts, to be honest with you. But that one, I kind of didn't. It was only one I heard.
But anyway,
switch on.
While we talk about MMA podcasts, before we go into that. I see a video podcast the other day. I don't know if it is just an audio thing or what Faber does from Team Alpha Male.
He's been doing one for a while. He's been doing a Team Alpha Male podcast for a while.
It looked like they were trashed, and they were like, I think, were they talking about Connor?
I've never listened to it, but yeah, I've heard
it was him. One of the guys that's always in the corner for him. I can't think what his name is.
A fighter, or Danny.
No, it wasn't Castillo. No, you know what? I think Castillo was in the room as well.
Because he's really good on him, from what I've heard. He's genuinely a fan.
I tell you what they were talking about. They were talking about TJ and
Dwayne Bang Ludwig.
Yeah, and they were trashed, and that was why I see it. Because it
came. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. But yeah, sorry, buddy.
Anyway, on the Fire and the Kid, it's a weird one, because the ones I enjoy the most, to be honest, is when they're, or tends to be when they've not got a guest. Except for when Rappaport's on, he's hilarious. But in general, I enjoy the guests, but I like them just talking about stuff that's going on and current affairs and things like that. But they had... But that's hard for people who aren't already into them or aware of them to necessarily get into. So one that I really enjoyed that I'd recommend people listen to is they had a Kristen Beck on, who's Lady Valor. And it was around the time that Caitlin had... Or Bruce... Jenner had announced that he was going to become Caitlyn, and it was this big change. And Lady Valor was like a high level, like proper Black Ops Marine, who is now a woman and still does training of the Marines. And the videos and stuff of it, it's the most amazing thing, because she stood there in high heels and with her makeup on and all this kind of thing, training people on how to be the biggest badasses in the world. And that was a fascinating one, because particularly at the point where all the press was on Caitlin, and we'll talk about that again, it was a few months after they had the big the Vanity Fair front cover and all that kind of thing. But I thought it was amazing. I think it's great. I think Caitlin and the Bruce Jenner thing, whether you like her as a person or not, I think it's great that there's attention being given to that kind of thing. So I'm not hating. I can't get mad at that. But I love hearing about a Lady Valor, and the, you know, in many ways, the greater pressure of someone who's had their life being the most manly of men, like literally out there killing people and training other people to kill people, and being as manly as it's possible to get, and having that inside them the whole time. So the boldness and braveness to then come around. And again, I also like it, because a lot of people who are against transgenderism or whatever else try and cover it up and go, all I'm saying is they're winning awards, like Caitlin is winning awards for bravery or whatever, and that should be going to our soldiers. Our soldiers are brave. It's like, come and meet Kristen Beck. There you go. You can't pull that. It's like, our soldiers. I'm one of the highest serving Marines in the history of US kind of force. Fought with the guy that the film about the sniper guy,
American Sniper.
So was on many tours with that guy and all this, so was like high level. So I recommend that. I think you should check that out.
I will check that out.
You won't, Chris, I've already established that. The other one that jumped out, which I don't think anyone here will have listened to, but I send it to people, Chael Sonnen has a podcast.
I listen to Chael's.
You listen to the one with Judge Douglas Crosby.
No. Do you know what? I'm guilty of looking through who the guests are.
And you look at the best. Yeah,
and
completely.
I look for the fighters.
This is another one. Again, even if you're not an MMA fan, I recommend you go and download this, because it's one of the most amazing conversations I've ever seen. He had Judge Douglas Crosby on.
I'm not the only person who sees conversations.
No. Right. Yeah. He had Judge Douglas Crosby on, and he was wanting to talk to him about how much training do MMA judges has. I think there'd been a lot of controversies at the time where the judges had given bad scores or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most amazing interviews, because this judge just does the weirdest dodging of questions ever. He's asking him literally that. Like, how much, for example, did you have training to be a judge? And he starts to talk about the variations of choices of favourite Grateful Dead albums. And really just goes off on this weird things. And Chael just flips. And he's like, start saying, I don't know if I could use it. I will tell you now, this is the worst interview I've ever done. I don't know if I can put this out because I have one of the biggest podcasts in the world. And it's, as I said, as a chow, I think he flips out, but amazingly, it's a fascinating thing to listen to because it's just him really losing his shit. And this guy just becomes more and more childlike and starts just doing voices and taking the mic and really not taking any of it seriously. It's absolutely bizarre, but yeah.
Did he actually address that? Had he had any training?
He didn't address it. There was a part two, which wasn't as good as part one, but it's kind of, yeah, he kind of answers the questions a bit more, but dances around it a lot. And again, it's a bit of, in MMA, it's a bit of an old man's club with the, or boys club with the boxing, with people who used to do judging on boxing
or
kickboxing. There's not really, it's why you get, and again, it's easy to be an armchair fan, but armchair fans are watching every fight.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of the judges are judging, are boxing all that week, and then being told, here's your criteria for this, and not doing good judging. So yeah, interesting one. Let's go on to a few episodes of Distraction Pieces. That month, I've got a Danny Wallace, which was, again, a great surprise one.
That was one of my favourites.
Yeah. Just a fascinating dude, right?
I'd seen him doing bits and pieces on the box, and I obviously read The Yes Man. And he was, I think he, because he was DJ on X, wasn't he,
for a while? He was on X, and then he was on Absolute.
That's right. And I want to listen to that, like, man, that guy's had a fucking crazy life.
The thing that blew me away on that was when he was a teenager, his dad was kind of some kind of journalist, I think, on politics. And
it's just the Berlin Wall
thing.
It was
when the Berlin Wall was coming down. And it was all getting close to the Berlin Wall coming down. And his dad moved his whole family out there because he's like, huge political changes happening and we have to be around it. It's important to be there.
We need to go and get involved. It was amazing.
Which I think is just, it blew me away. Yeah, I was like, I was so excited about that because I was like, wow, that's just so great to go, right, something hugely important is happening and I just think that we should be there. It might be dangerous, it might be this, it might be that, but I think it's important to be around that. So that was, that blew me away.
What was the thing? Sorry, I know we're trying to work our way through the months.
Mate, the longer we talk, the more I don't have to try and get a guest. So the more episodes we can get out of this,
okay,
I'm happy.
Let's
it's fine.
This out. We're still like,
what's the shot?
April. Go on.
Okay. Was that? It was the Danny Wallace one when he spoke about the guy in the airport that was the con man, yeah?
Yeah. What was that? I'm forgetting.
Didn't he try and track him down?
Yeah, no, he met him in a pub, didn't he? So he met him in a pub and he was a comedy.
Can I borrow a fiver or something like that, wasn't it?
He was doing something where he had to get somewhere for...
That was it.
...off favours and things like that. And he borrowed... And it turns out this guy he'd borrowed a fiver off of ended up being this infamous con man. It was I can't remember the story, so then now this feels like a plug to say, go and tune into that episode.
Oh, that podcast was the one. That was the one I didn't know what to expect, and I was like, that sounds corny, and I know I said it to you afterwards, but it was quite inspiring. He's lived a really interesting life. Yeah. And
he's reading Shortlist for years.
He's got the Colony Shortlist.
The Colony does in Shortlist makes me lol out loud. It makes me laugh out loud on trains regularly.
Thanks for explaining
lol. It makes me lol.
It's out there now. Listeners
for all the over 20s, that makes laugh out loud.
You can spread the word now.
So I don't want to get too into my own podcast, but that was a huge month for me because we had the two-parter it wasn't even a two-parter, a long one with Eddie Temple Morris, which was a huge breakthrough for us. It got us because we straight, again, similar as I did in January on last week's podcast, we went in heavy early, and he just spoke so openly about his mental health issues and his battles with depression and his suicide attempts and all sorts of stuff, and it was just amazing. And it was good because I knew I could go there with Eddie. Eddie is someone I've known a while and love, but also I know that we've both worked with Calm a lot over the years. Which is all about male suicide.
He's massively involved with Calm.
Hugely. And so it was really good. And the reason I think that podcast had such an impact was we didn't do the initial, so how did you get into music? We went like pretty much off the bat, it's like, let's talk about depression. Because again, it's easy to, if you're or as again, this isn't a joke at Chris now, but often the bulk of people who listen to some but not all, it'll be the first half hour or 45.
Yeah.
Because then that's the length of your journey or the length of this or that, and then you might not continue on because a new one comes out or whatever else. So to get into it early, yeah, and his openness just meant the world. It was absolutely, yeah, inspirational.
I was blown away. But I mean, obviously, we know Eddie because he's obviously your friend, and he's come down and become our friend and DJ.
He's done Lizard's numerous times. Amazing DJ.
Like some of my favourite memories of Lizard's are Eddie's sets. Yeah. Like he's done.
He come out of Southend.
Southend was a massive highlight.
Sweat was dripping off the ceiling.
He smashed some rooms, didn't he? I think he done it twice. He done it once, and then he come back with John Kennedy.
And done it
second time. If I'm not mistaken.
I mean, Eddie is probably the person we've had at our We Are Lizards the most, and it's because he just always smashes it. And again, it's not in a this way to him. We've had bigger names, but we're always excited. Well, when we're looking at guests, we will regularly say, how long has it been since we last had Eddie? To kind of go, can we get him back yet? Because he kills it every time. He's amazing.
Selection. He definitely has the
tune. It's a lovely game.
So two others that month I'm going to smash through. Had Howard Marks on, which was hugely important to me because it felt he's a bit of a legend in my mind. Again, you can have your opinions on drugs. Yep. It's a fascinating conversation. But equally, knowing that he's battling three types of cancer at the moment, it felt, wow, he's not going to be doing an awful lot. As sad, I mean, to be honest, after the interview, I think he's going to be around a long time. He seemed just on top of it. But yeah, that was an exciting one for me. But let's get on to Ricky Hall. Just because he's another person that we've had at Lizards, and I want to tell. Let's talk about. Let's count Ricky off a little bit. No, I mean, on the podcast, I thought he was a really important one to have because he's a model and he's not really known for his talking.
Yeah,
and it was great to hear him talk properly about his life, his history.
Yeah,
there's a meme going around at the moment, and they've fucked up so bad because it's a meme saying, if you've got a beard and you look manly, but can't even change a tyre, shave it off immediately. And it's some kind of this, and they've put it on a picture of Ricky.
Brilliant.
Ricky happens to have been grown up as a mechanic. His whole family mechanic. Yeah. It's like you chose the wrong typical hipster to choose it. It's like, he can change the tyre and pretty much everything on your car and bike.
I'll tell you what, of all the beardy hot models that are out there, picking Ricky is the worst.
Excellent. They've picked Ricky the mechanic.
Yeah, but it was interesting because, again, I pointed a lot of people towards that podcast a month or two later when he got a lot of shit.
That was it, about the dressing, wasn't it?
Yeah, and again, I got a lovely text off him because we'd booked him to DJ at Lizards.
That's right.
And it was just when it was first Vice, wasn't it? And then the Sun and then the Mail, all sorts were all hating
on him.
And he said, look, do you still want me to come? And basically I said to him, look, you know you fucked up, right? Because he said, he was doing an interview and he was excited, and he's an excitable lad. And if you listen to that podcast, you'll hear the first half hour, he's speaking 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And it was one of the, I was proud of myself as an interviewer, which are, in general, these are just conversations. I was proud of myself that I managed to relax him and calm him down. I purposely spoke slower on my bits to kind of...
Was that bring him calm him down?
Yeah.
Pre-show hand job?
Yeah, yeah, and that.
He's an excitable lad, though, isn't he? Like, I'd obviously never met him until he come to We Are Lizards.
But he's a lovely lad as well.
But he was really friendly, and he was very, very, you know, like...
Nervous. He's a nervous lad.
That's what I was going to say. Ridiculously nervous, and he was just buzzing around all night, and he was that all right? Was that all right? Is everything all right? And he was like... I think, you know, he's a working class lad, and he was very excited.
He got plucked out of obscurity to become a model. Again, all this is in the podcast.
It was the Clay Show, wasn't it? Walking out of Top Shop or something, wasn't it? And he got spotted.
But he did this interview, and they said, like, where do you get your fashion inspiration? He's like, I can get it from anywhere. I'll get it from kids, from catwalks, even homeless people. Which is a fucking Zoolander dumbass thing to say, which he's aware of. He's aware that was...
Regrand or whatever
he was. Like, he was aware that was a stupid thing to say, but... The thing that I found interesting was then how, and it was a real illustration of how fucked up and bored the press and social media are now, that he became so villainised and people really like, this guy should be fucking executed and cold and all things like that. And it's like,
That is so sad.
The dude said something silly. 90% of people who've read that haven't even read that full interview. It's why I did a post at the time saying it wasn't just to promote the podcast, but saying, have a listen to the podcast, man. If you still think he's a dick, then fair play. But he's not nasty. He's not evil. You can think what you want. Again, half the time if they listen to podcasts, I'm sure they're going to hate on me. But he's a nice kid, and
he's a kid on the streets that... And we've all... We all say stupid shit.
That's been inferred in so many ways. And people got upset over it. I don't think that's very cool. That people couldn't give him that pass. That people got that het up over it.
It's exciting to hate.
It is, like I was saying to you earlier today. I was saying, what is you up to today?
Hating.
And I was like, I was hating. And I was hating because I saw two people, blokes, wearing flip-flops. And it's November. And I straight away, I was like, yeah, they might have some kind of like athlete's foot, they need to get their feet to it. No, I just get annoyed by people wearing flip-flops. Yeah. So despite me knowing that argument, I was like, I'm going to get a head up about that, I'm going to enjoy it. And
I have an issue if a man has a flip-flop. no, not that, I love a flip-flop. but in specifically in Leon C, which is quite an affluent area close to us.
Full of hairdressers.
Full of hairdressers and...
flip-flops.
I haven't got a beef with that. Mm. I really haven't. But if you're wearing that, you're wearing your flip-flops, and you've got a toe ring, I struggle with that.
Yeah, it's a bit much.
That's enough. I can't even imagine how angry I'd get seeing that.
At the end of the day, I mean, I can't... Who is it? Is it a Nietzsche quote or... but just basically, haters going to hate.
Yep.
Players going to play. Yep. I'm just going to shake shake it off is my advice in general.
Shake it off.
Yeah. Shake that ring off your toe and then put some shoes on.
I mean, we don't need to go into it, but it's been a hell of a year for Taylor Swift.
can I just go back to flip-flops?
Yeah, you can. I'm starting to get angry.
No, you're like this. Friday night at the Toothbrush.
Don't say there was someone wearing flip-flops.
No, there weren't. There was a geezer turned up and he had a jacket like yours, Pip, one of them ones that got the sleeves cut off.
Good lad.
But he had obviously he had like a leather jacket on underneath it, and on the back of it he had patches of anthrax and stuff like that. He was, you know, every inch the metal
standard,
up. But he had like his you know, his jeans on and long hair and a bit of a beard and whatnot, but he had big boots on, and as he's walked up to the door, our security guys have gone like, are they still toe caps? And he was like, yeah. And they were like, you can't really wear them in here. You know, you can wear a tutu, that's fine, but you can't, we can't have steels in here.
Yeah.
And normally that's met with, oh, what, fuck off then, what a load of... And this lad was so sweet, he was like, oh, no, I understand. And all his mates went, see you later, and just went in and left him.
The classic.
And I just thought, right. And I remembered that some... kind of tropical Alka-Pop brand sent us a load of pairs of pink promotional flip-flops.
Oh, brilliant.
And I went, look, I've got an option here, mate. It might save you the cab fare home to put on a pair of shoes. How do you feel about wearing a pair of flip-flops with your socks all night? And he went, oh, yeah, that'd be smashing. Thanks, mate. So this poor geezer, he was amazing.
Lovely lad.
He was just every inch the kind of biker metaller type, but just had pink neon flip-flops and socks on, and he rocked it all night. That's off to that guy.
Okay, I love it. 100%. That is a reason to have flip-flops.
Yeah, I'm feeling that. Let's get on to a couple of news stories. This was the month that Caitlyn Jenner announced that she was going to be Caitlyn Jenner, I believe. Or it was around this time that it was a real call me Caitlyn was the big thing. Yep. But we've kind of touched on that. Mm-hmm. It was also, as we half touched on earlier, it was the month of Freddie Gray, who died... who was a young black man who died in police custody in the back of the van. Mm-hmm. And man, it's a really tough one. And not to use it to plug podcasts, but the discussion with Killer Mike, Owen had him on, he speaks so eloquently of the struggles facing black America. And I remember saying to him at the time, I think America's, like, one of America's big problems is its gun laws. Like, really, and there's also been this last year some real tragedies with shootings and massacres the last couple of years. It's constant. But equally, because of the way the police are treating black America at the moment, sitting here as a white guy in safe little Essex, I struggle to tell a black guy in America that I don't think that they should have a gun to protect themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm completely, I think the gun laws should be changed on this, but still, seeing that repeated, just constant, or again, the exposure of constant attacks and mistreatment and just disgusting attitudes and approaches, it's just, it's frightening, right?
From our insular little world in Essex, I mean, just seeing the news about it all this year has just been like, it's popping off all the time. I can't imagine how scary that is for people.
Being part of it, having that constant fear of being under threat. And again, it all feeds itself, as we were saying in the last episode about our attacks in the Middle East have fed the attacks over here. It's the same thing. But all it will cause is more aggression towards the police, and it's just, it's this self-fulfilling
and
prophecy.
Cycle. Anyway. And cycle. So talking about that, so they did Meow the Jewels this year, which makes me wish we still did Acid, and then they gave a lot of proceeds. What was it, to the money they raised off Kickstarter, they gave to those guys.
To explain. Run the Jewels did a Kickstarter thing to re-record the whole of that album only using cat noises.
Yeah.
So they sampled cats going meow, and it's called the Jewels. And they did it as a kind of a look at the stupid shit people do on Kickstarter. They got the money and more.
Yeah.
And were like, shit, now LP, who's a great producer, now I have to use cat noises to recreate all these beats in the right tones.
LP, who, in my opinion, is probably the best producer.
That's one of the best of all time.
He is, for me, the best producer. And he does it on cat noises. He remixes that. And he gets a bunch of other people in as well.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Plus, if you like cats, it's your bag, definitely.
It's right up your street.
I mean, dogs.
Yeah, well, go fuck yourself. it's been... I mean, just speaking on music a little bit, this year, for me, it's just been about grime, man. Right?
Wow.
A grime has come back this year.
Do you know what? I've not got loads and loads of albums to talk about this year.
No, I've not got loads. I've hardly listened to
them. Do you know what? When you said about doing this, first thing I've done was reviewed this year's music.
Mm.
And... I can't get that excited. I'm not that... I just can't.
I generally think outside of grime, I can't. And, or outside of UK hip-hop. And it's a fascinating one because, again, grime was kind of big when I started off. And I was never part of that scene.
Man, no. But it was still... I mean, I'd listen to a lot... I mean, actually, Tell a Lie.
Yeah.
You did do that Dizzy remix. Yeah,
yeah, completely.
But yeah, that wasn't a big thing for you. The grime tracks I've heard this year have been pretty solid.
Who are you talking about? What kind of thing?
Or Skepta. This year, Skepta and Boy Better Known and all that scene. And one of the big ones for me, I'd always like playing a bit of I Love You in the clubs. But again, the return of that and getting to play. I'm going to play a little bit now from Skepta and JME. That's Not Me, if my speaker works.
Oh, this is all right. This is a good tune.
What you mean?
We can get away with this because it's not actually plugging it in, so I'm not...
Oh, really?
Samples are fine. You're going. Skepta. One line flows, yeah, I got some of those. Get me, Jamie. Easy. Nah, that's not me. Act like a waste man, that's not me. Sex any girl, nah, that's not me. Lips any girl, nah, that's not me. Yeah, I used to wear Gucci, I put it all in the bin, cause that's not me. True, I used to look like you, but dressing like a mess, nah, that's not me. It's the return of the Mac, I'm still alive just like Tupac. Girls in the front row, girls in the back. Spit one lyric, everybody's like crap. Flashback to the cold nights in the trap. Now I'm in a new hood, counting a big stack. Anyway, we won't listen to all of it, but yeah, I kind of, that was... All that Skepta and Boy Better Known, I think it's then caused a resurgence in people going crazy about Kano and Dizzy, and you know, all these people are killing it again.
People should go crazy about Kano. I love
dude's a beast.
He is.
But it's a weird one because I had someone message me saying, "Oh, I'm loving all this grime stuff blowing up. I'd like you to get on a grime track and use the exposure." And it was one thing weird. I was about to kind of say, "You know, I was around when it was blown up before. It's just not, I can appreciate it." And I had Getz on Distraction Pieces. Getz has been blowing up. And Sway, I've been been talking about doing stuff with for years. Yeah, yeah, again, and been a fan for years as well. So it's exciting, but then the thing that I always also said was...
Go on, sorry.
I don't know how long it lasts, because each time there's a big burst of grime, about a year into it, people realise that the formula is just picking a word or phrase to say a lot.
And then re-repeat.
So it will be, yeah.
Rinse and repeat.
Shut down, or that's not me, or... I love you.
It's weird, because around that time as well, like you look at like some of 50 Cent stuff, and around that time of G-Unit, they were all ending their bars on the same lines. Yeah. And for me, I was like, oh, fucking hell. I was lucky to grow up in 90s hip-hop and just love the music, which we'll talk about later with other movies like Dope.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Then I was listening to that, I was like, what? And then I saw more sense in grime when grime did it than when... hip-hop did it. I know that sounds weird, but grime came from other roots than what hip-hop did musically, sonically. Yeah. So I kind of got it.
I can never remember if it was Dan Lesac or Joshua Edahen of Poem Between People and of Ben in City and numerous other things who came up with it, but they used to regularly have a little freestyle thing that was kind of a mocking grime. That were they just going to do a song called My Coat? It's like, it's my coat. I like your coat. I'll take your coat. I'll make your coat. going on about a coat rather than about either a car or weren't just and they used to go for hours on this. I got a new coat. I put your coat down. Put my coat on. Coat, just really, getting excited about coats.
Because there's the verse.
This is quite relaxed. I can just go to the toilet at this point because my knowledge of grime.
Yeah.
Apart from that, do you know what? I was going to add something about the nights I do with Mum Dance, because obviously he's heavily involved in that, yeah, as a novelist and things like that. But
how badly do you need to go?
I really need a wee.
Well, go on. I was going to move on to the next month.
I feel at 42 years of age, I shouldn't be trying to...
A white 42-year-old.
I'm fucking sorry, man.
I should be getting involved. Go on, you go to the toilet.
Shit, I thought he was... seriously, he thought he was 50.
Yeah. So I remember that when... we were growing up in the early grime, or more garage. I wasn't into it at all.
No, I don't.
And you were feeling it, and you were into Dizzy and stuff like that. Solid or whatever.
You know, you wouldn't have it like so. If
I was strict punk and metal and hip hop at the time.
Excuse me. If a social group of ours, being in Essex, we were lucky to have a bunch of social groups. Like Palmer's College, you had all the indie kids, you had the rockers, you had the trendies or the grungers, but you would never tolerate the smarter clubs.
Yeah. Yeah, and I wouldn't go there. If you had to wear shoes, I literally wouldn't go.
Jay used to be like that, but I genuinely, I'd go anywhere because, kind of because of girls, mainly, I mean, if I'm going to be honest. But garage wasn't a big... But I look back, garage has had this resurgence, and I prefer it now to when I did back then. But grime was a weird one, because the grime kind of obviously followed it, and it was a bit dirty. I really liked like Dizzy, Wiley when they were coming out, Roll Deep. I used to listen to, you know, all the radio. I've still got mixtapes and that of the radio stations where Dizzy's throwing out all these lyrics before he wrote Boy in the Corner. And around that time when I was DJing as well, so I'd do drum and bass, and I'd go onto pirate radio stations, or go around people's houses in like Leyndon and places like that. And there was a reason for saying this, by the way. I'd have like grime MCs talking about this, where they would be talking about like gangster stuff, like rough stuff, rough kids stuff, where they're talking about guns or knives or drugs. Yeah. And then sometimes you had other kids come in who rapped better, but about guns, knives and guns. And those kids, like, the other kids were like, what are you fucking talking about? You know nothing about this. This isn't you. I'm saying this because two of my mates are now doing 20 years that we all knew and now like have been absolutely done for coke dealing.
Yeah.
And this other little white kid's coming in now, and I'm like, man, he's rapping better than you guys. Yeah. And I'm like, but he doesn't know it. And and this year we've had Slim Jesus, we've had all that. I mean, it's slightly later when Drill Time came out, but we've got all that to come, and I just thought that's an interesting subject.
How long was it until they saw you in the room and kicked you out?
Cleaning the floors.
Just quickly, a good wee?
Good wee.
Was it good wee, yeah. Was it good? Stu's back. It's been for a...
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah, mixed reviews, yeah.
Sweet. Well, let's get on to May. Chris, I'm gonna let you choose if we go for podcast, MMA, or... films first, or news? I've got one big bit of news.
Go for two podcast, MMA, two because films. I need to pardon myself right now. So where am I going?
Dan Hardy.
In the garden. Yeah.
You didn't want to say that. Dan Hardy, and it turned into a two-parter because we got really deep into his career, man, and then just talking MMA.
Anyone that saw Dan Hardy with his red mohawk coming out to Pantera or whatever it was,
punk,
pumped, just wanting to smash people. Listen to that, because that ain't him.
And again, it was a really fun one because I feel I know Dan quite well. It was similar to this in that I was quite comfortable to mug him off every now and then, because he went on for quite a while about his crystals and his and the energy and things like that.
There's a little bit of, he was because you went to his place, didn't
his,
you?
His that new was place,
like,
yeah.
Was it like a converted church or something?
It was a town hall, essentially. Right. So it's this beautiful, huge, like high ceilings, really high ceilings. It's lovely. A wife does kind of those silks things, acrobatics, I think.
That's why they wanted
the high ceilings. And it's a beautiful place. But that was a really good fun one. And the other one I did was the Prince Charles Cinema was the one that got a lot of love. I had Paul Vickery from the Prince Charles Cinema, and it was amazing that was one of our most downloaded, considering he wasn't famous at all. But it was interesting. It was him talking about.
What do you think
that was? It was the subjects. I think it was him talking about just his love of cinema, and then even the inner workings of an independent cinema of not a major chain, of the things that you have to try and do. And the Prince Charles again was run by the people who ran a Robin's cinema.
Get out,
in Basildon, which we used to go to all nighters. Because that's it. You see the Prince Charles being the forerunners of all nighters of marathons. That's what they used to do at Robin's as well. They do the Halloween all nighters and stuff like that.
I love the Halloween all nighters.
Have you ever been to the one in Canvey? I've never been now.
No. I've been past it.
Canvey got a cinema
on the seafront.
It's on the seafront. Yeah.
What?
Apparently, it's a little family-run kind of like little cinema.
Well, you know, everyone's winding down for Christmas. Let's have a little trip to the cinema together, right? Let's go and see something nice. No, right, well, me and you, Stu.
No, look, I can't imagine that being good.
Anyway, two films. Let's get on to some films, because we've not done much films. There's going to be two that you're going to be able to be excited about, Chris. Avengers Age of Ultron and Mad Max.
Which
one do you want to go in on? Both, I thought both were amazing. And cinema films. I've talked about this a lot. I'm a big fan of the cinema experience, of watching films in the cinema 100%, on the big screen.
But we'll watch it on our own, won't we?
Having ice cream.
Maybe not can be on my own.
Can be on your own. I'm going. Next time I go on my own, I'm going to
just to plug another amazing cinema, just so we're going into it. Empire Cinemas in Basildon. Standard, like the best.
My number one.
It's my number one.
I like that they've got the studios for occasionally having more obscure
that's
films.
That's Russell Four Lions in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I love it, but I also like. Again, it's just I went to the Barbican to see a documentary last night about the music scene in Reykjavik in 81 and 82.
Could you be any more of a hipster wanker than
hello?
Oh my god.
No, it's really good.
Documentary
there's a reason why he didn't invite me to that.
it featured Bjork as a teenager in her first band, like pre the Sugar Cubes. It was good. I really enjoyed it.
We missed that album in January, by the way, which
it was amazing. But I shit on cinemas. I like that bit. I got asked to get involved in the Save the Curzon stuff, because the Curzon genuinely is a great chain of cinemas, has amazing stuff, but I refused to get involved, because if you're not going to man up and have a fucking Ben and Jerry stall and some hot dogs, you can fuck right off. You deserve to close down. But
that's a hot dog machine.
Hot dog machine in the corner, look at you. But I completely agree. There's loads of cinemas in London that I love, that are beautiful and that are arty and all this kind of thing, but I like to go to cinema and have the option of a hot dog, nachos, ice cream, and sweets I'm familiar with. Pick a mix and whatever else. And I love Empire in Basildon.
Nothing makes me happier than going to Basildon and
end it there. End it there. end it there, then end your life.
Yes.
But yeah, no, it's true. But yeah,
So let's start on. Let's do Mad Max.
Let's do Mad Max.
So really liked it. I thought
cool.
Next one.
I loved it.
I don't know. Like Tom Hardy was. It's quite. He played a silent sort of character in it. I didn't think Mad Max had a lot of dialogue himself. Yeah. Yeah. And it was so crazily fast paced, wasn't it? It was like Fury Road. It was that. It was just absolutely mad.
He was amazing. I thought Theron was fantastic in it as well.
Yeah.
I'm the biggest fanboy at the moment for Zoe Isabella Kravitz. I think she's had an amazing year because, again, we're getting onto the dope as well. So you're looking a bit blank. You're not remembering who she is, but she was in Mad Max as one of the wives, and she was also in Dope as the love interest. But I think, again, I think she's fantastic. And I thought that film in general was just... It's a perfect cinema film. It was so huge. And so, as you said, it was fast-paced, just constantly. The lad from About the Boy, a Boy was fantastic as well. Yeah, Holt. And Nicholas Holt was...
Holt's smashing it.
He's killing it.
Have you seen... Oh, sorry.
No, have I seen what?
His balls.
No, it's weird that you mentioned Kravitz.
Yours or
Holt's? You mentioned Kravitz earlier, because everyone saw his balls this year, didn't they?
Oh, my God, this guy sent it to me. I don't want to see a picture of his dick. And I don't want to see a picture of his dick.
Right, I mean, this comes later in the year, but let's get into it now, because...
Let's fast forward to Kravitz's ball bags.
There was a picture that came out of Lenny Kravitz's trousers had ripped open... And there was his cock was there. His cock was just there.
Oh man, it was there, all right.
And people were like, oh, he's got a cock ring. And in my opinion, he'd tied off. Are you familiar with tying off?
No.
As a term.
I'm only familiar with it because you explained it.
You see, I've mentioned this to people and people are alien to it, but it's a popular thing. Like, tying off is something that's done
popular. You don't take that with a pinch of salt.
Tying off is done when someone. For some reason, he's doing a photo shoot or whatever, and they want their penis to appear large, right? So you'll through whatever means and necessary, you'll get a bit of blood going, and then you'll trap the blood so it remains a decent size. So tying it off with either a high cock ring or a ball kind of thing which made me then think, has he staged this tearing of his shorts, or does he always just get himself a bit up there for a show just because he wears tight jeans and...
Yeah.
But yeah, what
was your conclusion of that thought?
My conclusion was that it tied off and probably does it in general, because if you're wearing tight leather trousers in general, they'll show a bit of a bulge. I mean, we could talk about the game's penis. The game's penis also came later in the year.
Oh my gosh, this was a great journey.
The rap of the game, yeah, anyway. On Instagram, he posts a picture of himself in his boxers.
Have you seen his hashtags, though? His hashtags are golden. His hashtags are a Gilly Cooper fucking novel. Yeah. They are, like, what is it? Mills and Boone. Pornographic.
Some Mills and Boone shit up in here.
If Lenny Kravitz purposely had a cock ring...
Yeah.
...and had some kind of easy rip pant on...
Yeah.
To expose his semi whilst on stage. That's fucking incredible.
It was, because you look, his pants were designed by the same person that designed Janet Jackson's outfit. I'm making this up.
I was buying that shit.
That was a lie. But the famous Super Bowl,
nipple
slip thing. But yeah, that was, I mean, that's penises covered. And that even isn't even in this month. We've just wedged penises into that mouth.
Let's have it right.
Let's talk more about dicks. I'm not done with dicks. Who's that guy when we were watching that fight? And he just like... And I had to come clean and go, come on, man, you must see his dick in there. And
that was one of the ones that you fell asleep and were dreaming of dicks.
What's that guy's
name? Let's move on to Avengers Age of Ultron. I'm not going to remember that guy's name. Age of Ultron, I thought it was amazing. The one thing that set me back on it slightly and the awkwardness was
no dicks, was
how amazing Quicksilver was in the X-Men film last year. And the recasting, which was great still, but I just, I don't know.
That was a really tough one. And also, you know, they didn't hold back on how they tried to cast that as well. That was a guy from Kickstarter.
Kickstarter.
And he doesn't know what we're talking about, bro.
He's cockblind. He can't.
But yeah.
And it's like they went in on it, but that's great. Actually, weirdly, for me, Age of Ultron, where they, I think, second movie, there was discussions about who's going to get done in, or is there going to be a sacrifice made. I don't know. Part of me wanted a bigger character to go. Like, I actually thought, I don't know if I can say this. Can I spoil?
Spoilers. It's end of year.
Have you seen Age of Ultron? Do you want to see it?
Tune off now.
I think I'd have thought they knocked off Hawkeye.
Because I was going to say, it was Hawkeye's film, wasn't it?
The family, always with his family. For me, if you have that, the payoff should be smash his head in with a rock.
I mean, I really enjoyed that they chose to make it. The star of that one was Hawkeye. Do you know what I mean? They gave his character focus. The most time and the most attention. I've lost. Oh no, it's on there.
I think out of all the Avengers crew, I think is it Jeremy Renner? Is that guy?
Yeah, Renner. He's great.
I think he can light people up. I reckon if the Avengers cast had a ruck,
yeah,
it'd be between
that's
him
Billy
and
from Big,
Thor.
Isn't it?
No way, really.
Yeah,
is it
from what? The guy from Hurt Locker.
Yeah,
that's Jimmy, Cock-a-Pop, Jimmy. That's Tom Hanks.
Big, really?
Big, yeah.
No way.
No fucking way. Yeah. I was not aware of that. That is amazing.
That's Billy.
I love that.
I
wish that was a lie now, because that would have been an amazing one, but I'm pretty sure.
Great, the one criticism that people had of Age of Ultron seemed to be, it's exactly the same as the other one, but with a new story. And again, I didn't give a shit about that. They've got a great formula of going, right, here's the characters that we balance, here's how we... It was still an enjoyable experience.
I think when
for
you
me.
Get up to that size budget, and that budget is huge, there's sacrifices that get made when you're starting to play to an audience that can facilitate a payment of a budget of that. Like, I remember when they did Transformers, and I was like, it wasn't exactly... I mean, do you remember Transformers, the animated movie?
Yeah.
Dark as fuck. Like, watch the film. And it is like people, like, all, as a kid, as a 10-year-old, I was watching that series. Oh man, I love all these guys. I love all these Transformers movie. I think its slug line was, does Optimus Prime die in this movie? It's like selling it to you like that, your hero.
Yeah.
And people are getting wasted left, right, and centre. And I've totally lost from my train.
I was about to say, we could just leave Chris talking about Transformers for hours. I know that's a possibility.
Oh, right, sorry, the budget has to be that big in order to make those movies.
Completely, and again, I loved it. I mean, let's smash through some MMA quickly, because we're going to end on this
month.
You're
not going to get bogged down in Chris seeing Cox from watching MMA.
No, it's fine. Cormier Rumble. So, actually, I mean, we should mention, we missed it in last month. John Jones had his hit and run. So he drove in. John Jones, the champion of Smash Cormier, drove into a pregnant woman's car and then ran away from the scene. Quite rightfully, was therefore stripped of his belt, suspended. Cormier Rumble Johnson was in line to fight John Jones. They then fought for the vacant belt. And it's a great scrap. You know, Rumble having possibly the hardest punch in the world, catching Cormier and rocking him, and Cormier pulling it back to then dominate, really.
Prior to that...
Yeah.
Did we not have the John Jones Rumble press conference stare down?
That was hilarious. Again, brilliant. That's a beautiful thing where they come up and square up, and then they start to scrap, and Dana's having this big panic separating them, and then it was all a setup and a joke because of the Cormier one, which we spoke about in last week's episode. But yeah, fantastic scrap, and Cormier becoming the champion and being instantly getting like John Jones. I love it. I love the way he says John
that
Jones.
Will be the soundbite.
John Jones,
get your shit together.
Get your shit together.
Like, you know, he just... No, I'm
going to move on quickly in MMA on this one. Just quickly though, Andre Orlovsky, Travis Brown.
Wow,
man!
God damn, that was a fight. Again, from back in the day when we were watching, Chris Orlovsky was
one of our heroes.
I was trying to.
And the comeback he's had this year of smashing people, and Brown was the one where it was like he smashed people, but right, he's now against a high level. He's going to get smashed. And what a fight!
Do you know what? I was literally chatting to my pal this morning, and we was talking about like fights of the year, and I don't know how, I'd completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
What a tear up.
What a scrap. One of the best first rounds ever. Yeah. Orlovsky surprising everyone and coming out and dominating and then getting caught and then thinking, is he done now? And
crazy.
Great, great scrap. Let's round this month off with the Ireland voting to legalise gay marriage.
Yeah, that was that month, right? Of course it was.
It was a huge thing. It was something I did a post about it saying, look, I struggle with things like this because it's celebrating something that should just be the norm. I struggle saying, congratulations, in 2015 you've legalised gay marriage. But the fact was, and again, I had to rein myself in on my own kind of judgment of whatever they're in. So the fact is, this day means the fucking world to a lot of people who felt repressed out there, who felt this way. It's like, regardless of it being too late, it's arrogant or selfish of me to go online and shit on it and
go,
you should have done it ages ago. It's like, no, that's an amazing day to celebrate. And the fact as well that it was voted by the public. It wasn't it wasn't just a government thing or pressure. It was the public as one stood up and said, fuck that bullshit. That's ridiculous. You know, so yeah, I thought that was a beautiful thing.
I think that is to be celebrated.
Was it in Ireland with the cake? Do you remember that travesty this year where they wouldn't print a picture on a cake for someone's wedding because it had something to do with male-to-male marriage? And they were like, sorry, we can't do that.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Sorry, we can't do that because it goes against our principles as a cake making fucking company. We can't. We're 100% Christian. Some
dumb bullshit, isn't it? But that was a beautiful moment and a beautiful thing. And I mean, was it last year that you also had the same in America where they legalised it a lot more broadly and nationally?
Yeah.
So that's massive. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the gays.
Word up.
I'm going to wrap it up now. There was a point where you said, oh no, that was it. When you said about the guy that Renner was in Big, you said you wish that was just a lie because that would be a great story.
Yeah.
Can we end this one? We're going to be back next week. This might end up turning into 4 or 5. can we end this one with just pick your favourite Mark story? Now we need to explain.
Wow.
Mark Watts is a mate of ours who he's just a legend. You were working on a documentary on his. He runs a studio.
Yeah, Mark runs a studio called The White Room.
He's a dude. I remember the first time I met him and thought, fuck me, who is this guy? He's too, because he's an intense guy. But as soon as I got past my
my first meeting with him was very similar. I popped down there at the time I was doing flyer bags for clubs and businesses, and he had a music studio, and I went down there and I walked into his studio, and I think I left about 6 hours later exhausted, feeling like I told him within about 3 sentences, what's your old man do for a living then? Oh right, yeah. And that was it. He's amazing. Enthusiasm he's off the chain, and
but he just always has, there's stories to tell anytime anyone spends any time with Mark. So I don't want to get into all of them, but one of the ones that you told me this year, I think it happened a while ago, was when you and him went to the boxing and he couldn't take his bottle of water in. Or first he couldn't get to his seat.
No, we went to see the Milk. It wasn't the boxing. Milk. No, but we went to see the band of Milk, the Randass.
Right.
And he had a bottle of bottle of water. And he doesn't drink, and as we've walked in, there was this young lad and that would open the doors and kind of show you to your seats almost, and he went, I need the lid off your bottle of water, please, sir. And Mark was like, what's that then? He went, well, you can't take lids in now. And he was like, oh. All right then. So he gave him his lid, and he then proceeded to put it in a huge dustbin with a big bin liner in it, which also had about another sort of like 1,500 water bottle tops in it. We then walked into the venue, and Mark then shouted back at this guy that's still trying to deal with other people with their bottles of water, "Where's my seat, mate?" And he went, 4C. So Mark sat in 4A. And then he went, no, next one. And so Mark skipped that one and then sat in the... to the point where this bloke then had to come down, leave his post, and because Mark's just on the wire. But you could tell the geezer was just thinking, please just sit down.
Yeah.
Like, leave me alone. And so that was all that. Watched the gig. And as we've left the venue...
There's thousands of people are leaving at that time, yeah.
Obviously, this guy's flat out. Mark's gone, hello, mate, you got me bottle top? and this guy didn't know what was going on. And he was like, yeah, you put it in there. And then, obviously, there's now a dustbin overflowing with bottle tops. And he was like, do you mind if I go in and have a look? And the bloke was like, can you just... And he just gave him a random one. And obviously, he was just like, please go away. Was this definitely my one, mate? Like, amazing. Amazing.
Beautiful, beautiful. So, yeah, we'll end it there. And we'll be back next week, starting with June, where we're going to be talking about the Gal Porter podcast, the Refugee Special, Jurassic World, Dope, amazing films, Verdum Kane, all sorts of fights, Rachel Dolezal, which is I'm going to get into hugely, and loads of good stuff. So, yeah, see you next week.
You've been listening to Scooby's Picks Discretion Pieces.